Welcome to the You Can Man podcast, episode 58. I'm Josh.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dave.
And on this week's episode, you can run, man.
All right, guys, welcome back to the You Can Man podcast, where we believe what one man can do, you can do as well. You know, with a little help from your friends and the proper know-how. This week, we're finally going to talk about running because we've mentioned it so much throughout the podcast and probably in the past, 6 to 7 weeks, something like that. More than that. I guess we've been mentioning it for a while now because we've all kind of been into it.
Since we kicked off the podcast,
that's what I mean.
At least a couple of us have been.
Yeah,
getting after
we it. Haven't talked about it since the beginning, really, but it's been more recently that we talked about it. So we decided, you know what, it's due time that we do an entire show on running.
We're pretty much experts now.
And so. I think it's going to be more so like exercise, losing weight, that sort of thing. But
yeah, well, an approach for just the average person.
Right.
Like there is no like professional runner sitting at this table.
No.
Or nutritionist. But we have each found something to keep us going, keep us, you know, hitting the streets on the regular.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We're going to get all into that. But first, we had some current events happen today. And luckily we're recording like 2 days before we're dropping episodes now. Hey, but that's great. So we can talk about current events. So our governor in Georgia just announced that he's going to be lifting a lot of the restrictions. So guys, what do you think about that?
I'm a germaphobe, so I'm going to say too soon, Brian. I think it's a little too soon. Like we're not even at our peak. And I feel like, I mean, look, I'm still thankfully employed, so it's easy for me to say stuff like this. I know a lot of people out there are hurting. And so there's obviously different perspectives, but it feels a little soon from my perspective, just because we haven't hit our peak here in Georgia yet.
Yeah, I almost have like too many thoughts to share and this is not a political podcast and
I
don't want people to, because I'm not going to turn it into a political
Stop.
Podcast, but I don't want other people to like interpret what I'm saying a certain way. Here's where I am. I'm somewhere in the middle of like complete shutdown, government keeps everyone in their house versus everyone go out and do whatever they want. Now, with a caveat, I mean, that's true personal liberty on that end. So maybe I'm there. I just honestly haven't hunted down the answer, but I'm somewhere
I think I'm in the middle as well, but it sounds like from talking to you guys that I'm going out a decent amount more than you guys, I think. I don't really have an issue with it. I mean, I'm keeping my distance and using hand sanitizer when I get back to the car, that sort of thing.
I've done restaurant pickup.
Yeah,
I've done a Home Depot order pickup. Not much more than that.
I have not been Home Depot.
Well,
I was going to go the other day.
Weird.
And then they didn't have my mower, the belt, the deck belt. They didn't. My local Home Depot didn't have it. So I'm going to have to go to a different one.
Yeah, I haven't been inside a store in at least 6 weeks. And I keep calling Tim the wild card because I can't trust him because he's kind of going all over the place.
And we are all back in the studio finally. So thank you guys for sticking with us.
That's breaking news.
Yeah, with that really just not the best audio. And it was not what you guys are used to. And so I really appreciate you guys
sticking with it. Reality is 70% of podcasts out there sound like what we did. Tim's going hard on himself because
right.
We've always, you know, he prides himself on quality audio.
We like to think that we've got some decent audio. It's not the best.
We might not be the best, but we sound like the best.
And it's because of the curtains that we have hung up in Tim's basement in
HQ. I got to do some work on that because it soaks up the sound great, but it looks...
Oh, it looks
really
awesome. It looks awesome.
You know, one thing about the sound stuff, just a nitpicky thing, and you guys listening, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you're going to know exactly what I mean. When I edit a podcast and then I spit out that final image, I run it through a loudness matching thing.
I have no idea what you're talking
okay?
about.
Okay.
That's clutch.
So it is matching it to industry standards. And so when let's say you're going in between two of our podcast episodes, the volume level should be pretty much exactly the same from episode to episode. Now, other podcasts that you'll listen to, they're all over the place. And so if you're, you know, if you're in your car, whatever, you keep the volume level, you know, you kind of notice like I'm on, I don't know, you know,
whatever. 26.
You're on 26. And then the next podcast that you listen to is super loud.
Yeah.
Or yeah. It's really, really soft. So having that loudness matching,
it's like
it's big to me because it's super annoying to have like that happen.
It's like when TV commercials used to be like insanely loud compared to the program.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
really
annoying.
You're right. It is annoying. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see behind the curtain. So just make it happen. All right. That's all I'm saying.
I am making it happen for you, Dave.
Appreciate that.
All right. Anything else you guys want to share? Dave was saying, I've got my Nashville Early Bronco shirt on. Yeah, and Dave looks over and says, I don't like that shirt.
Hold on. Pause. So I do like the shirt, but I just noticed something on it. So Nashville Early Bronco, man, I need you to settle a bet here. I'm looking at this Bronco and it looks like it has a body lift, no suspension lift, which I have an issue with. All right. I need it to have a suspension lift so I can see the axle. It's basically scrubbing the ground, and
I know
it ain't cool.
I'm pretty sure that John's Bronco is got the same setup as mine, and I would assume that he made the shirt based off his. So if I remember correctly, John's Bronco is a 2.5-inch suspension lift and a 1-inch body lift.
Okay.
Which is the perfect combo because that's what I have. And
it sits right.
I'm pretty sure that's what his has. John, correct us if we're wrong. We'll tag you and hopefully you will listen to this.
We'll do a follow up because the new Bronco, we still got to follow up. Sure.
Which they delayed.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
For this?
Yeah, they delayed.
Oh, I just read something that said they're going to go ahead and do it regardless.
So I read a headline that
fake
said
news.
They are delaying the debut of the baby Bronco is what
who cares about the baby Bronco?
Right. All right. Yeah, I just literally within the past hour trimmed a bunch of trees outside.
I saw you doing that and I was going to walk over there and take your photo without you seeing me, but I didn't do it.
I was too quick. Yeah, I used the pole saw. There were some trees overhanging the swing set. Now
you have
that
a pole saw?
I do.
I need to borrow that.
It's awesome. Now that the leaves are onto the trees, the branches sag down and covering the swing set.
Yep.
And I installed a new toilet seat in the hall bath.
Look at you.
Like, right. Do you guys get in those phases of there's like 32 things that each take 12 minutes, but you just don't do anything. But then one day you're just like on a rampage and you just start hammering through all those.
Yep.
That was me today.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do.
All right. Well, is that about it?
That's exciting.
I cleaned my gutters out the other day, so that was exciting.
Nice. Good
for you. Really do not like getting on that roof. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Because
you're spinning that roulette wheel every time you do it.
Okay. When I have my roof redone, guys, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have some massive eye bolts put in along the ridge vents.
You're going to put in some fall safety equipment,
arrest. That way I can hook in. I'm going to get me a harness. And then when I'm on that roof, I can hook into it like a rappelling thing. I'm serious.
That's beyond old man. I don't even know what to call that.
Because I don't like that.
Your roof, it's not that tall. I mean, it is on the low side, it is tall. But you can look. You can fall 10 feet. You'll be all right.
Dude, I don't want to do that. It's getting on the roof and off the roof.
I agree.
On the
ladder. It's getting off the roof onto the ladder. That's when it gets a little bit sketchy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's get into this topic. You can run, man. Now, let's just take a trip down memory lane. Say about a year and a half ago, we were all out of shape. Fat.
I was embarrassed. With
myself. 2 years for me, but I'll make it equivalent.
Okay, Josh, 2 years. Well, actually, for me, gosh, I'm going to say 7.5 months ago.
Okay,
I was 42 pounds heavier.
That's insane. When I look back at pictures of you, first of all, you look like you're in high school right now. It blows my mind every time I see you. But I look back at pictures and I'm like, I cannot believe the transformation, like it's crazy.
I look back at pictures of myself now and I'm just like,
you texted
us. I was big.
Yeah, you texted us. You're like, why didn't you guys say anything to me?
I know.
Well, it's because we all put on 4 pounds a year for the past 15 years.
We all had the dad.
That's literally what happened.
I guess it was just a gradual.
No, it happens very slowly. It is for everybody. And then everyone in your peer group is basically doing the same thing unless you hang out with super fit people. like everyone's putting on 3 to 5 pounds a year and it just happens. And yeah, 15 years later, you weigh, you're 40 pounds overweight plus. So yeah, 2 years ago, I was coming in at like 248 and this week I'm at like 208. So like right at 40 pounds.
Dang. Look, I've been world-class my whole life. Okay. And so I only got up to like maybe 210, but look, I looked at pictures and I knew I had A cups, but I look back at pictures and I'm like, man, that's embarrassing. It's not cool.
Yeah. Dave's always a tall, lean dude, but yeah, you can see it like in your face.
Yeah. My face, my neck, my cheeks, look, my gut.
I was texting a friend earlier today and I said that my 39-year-old, I'm going to use some language, could kick my 19-year-old's
booty.
And that's legit because I've never been even in this good a shape. Now, I'm not 39 yet. I'm almost 39. I'll be 39 in July. But I mean, you talk about high school. Man, what is that term? Skinny fat?
Yeah, skinny fat.
Yeah, I totally was. Like, it was just like no muscle mass, really. Yeah, you know, yeah. I might have weighed about the same that I do now.
That's not really fair unless you played like football in high school because now you got a little bit of old man strength. And so you could just waste your 18-year-old self. But I know what you're saying, true. And I agree that you could smoke Baby Tim.
Yeah, I mean, should we go ahead and start getting into some numbers?
Well, do we have a collective, cumulative?
Yeah, let's add up how much we've lost.
I'm right at 40.
I'm at 40, over 42 pounds.
So I was at like 25, but I've gained about 5 pounds of lean muscle. So call it 20 pounds.
All right, so we're coming in at 80 pounds plus.
Some serious
lost
weight.
Around the table.
Yeah. So, no, you said, we're more than that. You said 40.
Oh, 40, 40, 40, and 20. 100.
Yeah, okay. We're at like 100 pounds, guys.
I'm really good at math.
You are.
So, yeah, over 100 pounds. So,
and
yeah.
we need to redo our podcast cover photo.
We do.
Because we were all pretty chunky then. And so
we need to
redo that. Well, and I've clean shaven too.
Yeah.
So that's a whole nother.
Yeah, we all knocked it down.
Josh has just straight up redneck handlebar mustache going.
Yeah, he really does.
Which is awesome. I respect it.
I just went, I was like, big changes in my life. I'm shaving this thing off because I don't think I had clean shaven since like 2006.
I tried it. It looks good on you. I tried it and I immediately was just like, nope,
yeah, I'm not
doing
quite
this.
Ready
no, I
to
can't
commit.
Do it.
Well, when I would trim it down like really short when I was big, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. No, you got to hide what's underneath.
Yes. I know.
Well, the beard. Yeah, the beard is the greatest thing, the greatest invention for the overweight male. Right. Like you can just hide that extra chin under there and you can kind of shape the beard to kind of make your head look a little slimmer.
The UK Man Army knows what we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, so let's talk about like the why that we've kind of done this and, it's different for all of us. But and we're using terms like big, but that's relative, everyone starts somewhere. I was on a course. I'll just go first. I played baseball in high school, did like marching band, in the falls,
nerd
baseball in the spring, all the way through high school. Was fairly athletic in college and then just kind of turned it off, like stopped being active, started, living by myself, eating whatever I would like. And yeah, over the next 15 to 20 years, just slowly added weight.
I can remember visiting your college, I guess it was like apartment. Your apartment, and just the crap that you would eat.
My favorite meal. So Friday night, like special occasion, I would get a Pizzone from Pizza Hut, which they've brought back and I haven't tried yet, but the Pizzone from Pizza Hut. And then literally a half a gallon of Breyers Mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Half gallon?
Yeah, like it was nothing. I'd have my dinner one night would be a whole Velveeta shells and cheese. Like a whole meal of just Velveeta shells and cheese. So I was just off the rails.
Dave's over there saying, dang. And he would like down a whole freaking thing of Oreos. Did you not?
No, not in one sitting.
A whole sleeve or something,
so,
right?
No. So I worked at Publix and I'd grab like the mint Oreos, right? I'd get a whole pack of them and I'd eat half of it that night. I'd wake up the next morning, I'd eat the other half. And I'd be like, there's an entire package of Oreos inside my body, like in my stomach.
Yeah. So let's bring it back to me. So after all this time, as I've, you know, expanded in the waistline, I had like a little, I don't know, I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast. I'm not going to go super into in depth with it, but a little over 2 years ago, I had like a health scare. Woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't breathe, chest pain, like felt like someone was standing on my chest, felt sick, nauseated, tried to like go back to sleep and sleep it off and just couldn't shake the feeling. So drove myself to the ER. They did EKGs. They saw something weird on my EKG. Had two stress tests at the hospital while I was there. They put me on a treadmill. They put me on a recumbent bike and ultrasounded my heart while I was doing all this stuff. Still saw some weird stuff on the EKG, but nothing they could identify. So apparently on an EKG, there's certain indicators that a cardiologist can go, oh, that means that, and that's bad. What she was seeing on mine was like this little tiny anomaly that she couldn't identify. She's like, it's not perfectly normal, but it's nothing that I'm going to be concerned about. So bottom line is my primary care physician chalked it up to like stress. And yep. Both my parents had had heart attacks within the previous 2 years, under 60 years old, which is like the number one indicator that you're susceptible to heart attacks. And just kind of having that knowledge and knowing how badly I was treating my body all combined for just some stress, like in the middle of the night that just woke me up. And from basically that point on, you can go one of two ways. You know, you can feel sorry for yourself and spiral and not care. And I decided I'm going to do something, and I'm not going to do what I've done every time, which is go crazy, like crazy on the exercise, crazy on the diet, unsustainable. I'm just going to do little pieces at a time. And that's where I started. And so, yeah, I've been at it two solid years. I mean, which I think is a habit. Yeah, I ran 18 miles.
That
Saturday.
Is insane.
Dang. That was the furthest I've run in my life.
That's a long way, no matter who you are.
But I mean, I do remember 2 years ago, and I mean, this sounds cliche, and we're not self-help people here, but you can, man. Like I remember running the first mile, like the next day or the next day, 2 days after being in the hospital, and just being gassed and being embarrassed and saying, you know, I used to be an athlete, you know, I used to be able to do this stuff. And now, yeah, I rattle off 18 and yeah.
That's insane. Okay. Yeah. We should talk about our first mile, because when I got back into it, I was just like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then I just, like an idiot, just, I was like, screw this. I'm going out.
Wait, you just went full bore? That doesn't sound anything like you.
Uh-huh. And I went 1.67 miles and I completely trashed my feet. Like I could not walk right. The next day.
You had like Forrest Gump legs kind of thing?
Something was up. And I guess, it was a lot to do with the shoes, but also going, you know, I don't even know how many years it had been. Because I ran like sort of maybe, I don't even know how long ago that was. Maybe like 12, 13 years ago. But I never really was serious about it. But I literally had not run over a mile in a very long time. And then I did it with shoes that were not made for that, and then just went out there and did it. And yeah, I'd completely trashed my feet. And then it was probably another like 2-something months. And then I won't get into like what really propelled me into getting after it really hard with the running and working out and everything, but just major life changes. And yeah, I went from 0 to working out 6 days a week. So what I did was I was running. What is my schedule? Monday, Wednesday, Friday is running or hiking. And Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday is lifting weights. And so that's literally what I've done for the past 7.5 months.
If someone had told me, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago that I was going to be sitting here listening to Tim Harmon say that he lifts weights 3 days a week, there's no way that I would have believed that. And it's a compliment, and it's also a statement to people out there who, if they feel like they're, you know, there's this inertia built up when you're doing a lot of stuff, there's inertia built up, and when you're not doing stuff, there's inertia built up, and it's hard to stop or start. And if you're out there and you feel like you can't do it, Tim Harmon should be your beacon of light and your North Star.
Yeah.
And just somebody who I never thought would be like, I'm going to work out.
No, because I was kind of anti that. Right. It was like, heck no, I'm not going to do that. Because I would always, I almost just like a complete idiot, I would pride myself in, well, you know, I've kind of maintained this for 15 years. So I think I'm okay.
You see this physique? I'm good.
Seriously. Yeah. No, I would like, because I kind of maintained about the same weight for a pretty decent amount of time.
It hit your equilibrium.
Yeah. And so I thought, okay, I'm not going crazy here and I'm not gaining a ton of weight. And so if I just kind of keep it where it's at, then I kind of felt like I was.
Well, we were all in that similar place of like, we could feel the large t-shirt getting real tight, you know, and then I graduated to XLs. And then those started to get a little tight, but you would tell people how much you weigh and they'd be like, oh man, you wear it well. You do not look like you weigh that much. And so in your mind, you're like, oh, I'm still good. I still got it. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So jumping to me, I think my story is kind of similar to Josh's in that the reason that I started getting out there and working out and running a lot more was because I think I have a pretty stressful job and I heap a bunch of stress on myself. It's just kind of my personality.
Yeah, you do.
And thanks a lot. And I'm still working on it. But I didn't have like a night episode, but I started having these things where I'm like, man, I think these are panic attacks. And I talked to my doctor. He's like, yeah, it's a panic attack. I was like, okay, I'm not going to be that guy who has panic attacks. And so, and I actually heard one of our competitors, Joe Rogan, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, yeah. But he likens the body to like to a battery. And if you don't use that battery, like that acid inside, it starts to overflow. And so he said, that's kind of like the body. You have this energy inside you. If you don't get that energy out, like it's just going to bubble up to the surface and come out in negative ways, which really resonated with me because that's what was happening to me.
And you had all those donuts that you were eating that was really fueling.
So I ate 3 donuts a day. I don't know, 3 to 4 days a week.
We're talking Dunkin' Donuts.
That
Dunkin'
is donut. Insane. Yeah. So we know this about Dave, but none of our listeners know this. This joker would literally, on your way to work?
Not every day, but pretty, I mean,
four days a week. You roll up through that Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru.
It's 1,000 calories before I'm at work.
Three donuts. Did you get coffee?
Like it was nothing. I'd get like an iced coffee. Yep, medium iced coffee.
With cream and sugar?
Cream and sugar.
Yep. Okay. So you had a lot of sugar just in the coffee alone.
The worst thing you can do in the morning.
It's
to your
hard
body.
To think about now.
How do you not have the diabetes?
That everybody says that. It's weird. Like, I'm sure that I'll pay for it eventually. I hope that doesn't happen, but I'm sure I'll pay for it because, like, and I always say this, that food doesn't affect me positively or negatively. Like nothing, I can drink a pot of coffee and then 20 minutes later go to sleep. Like nothing, it doesn't make me feel good or bad. And so those 3 donuts a day, I just felt normal. Now, I don't know what that is, but anyway, so.
Well, we trick ourselves.
What would happen today if you went and did that?
Nothing.
Really? Okay. You think so?
Because
I would feel like garbage.
Because every once in a while, I'll go back and I'll go back to my old ways.
Go back to roots.
Every few weeks, I'll stop by. And yeah, it's just like, okay, well, this
Say
is.
Say hi to your friends.
The guy's like, dude, where you been, man?
They've literally said that to me. I didn't even have to. I got to the point where I didn't have to order. They would just be like, pull around, and like. So yeah, it's embarrassing. But anyway, I was real stressed out. And actually, Josh's brother, Jacob, said, hey, I want to run a race a month. This was last year in 2019. I guess it was December 2018. He said, I want to run a race a month. And Josh was like, yeah, let's do it. And Josh asked me about it. I was like, yeah, cool. So we did it. I missed one, but I made it up at the end of the year. And that was kind of, I guess what kept me going. So what I would say to people out there, maybe we're going to get into this, is you need a support system. You don't need to start too fast or too strong. Yeah, just baby steps, like, incremental changes. I kind of put it in my mind where I was like, today I'm not going to get down on myself, but today's the slowest I'm going to be. So tomorrow, like the next day, incremental improvements was kind of the way that I attacked it.
I was going to say one thing that helped me. I went and paid some good money for some good shoes.
I
went and got fitted and all this stuff. And for me to spend that kind of money on shoes, that's big time. Like I don't know that I've ever spent over $100 on a pair of shoes. I mean, maybe I highly doubtful.
That's still a big spend. For me.
Yeah, no doubt.
If you're going to run multiple times a week, though, you have to have quality footwear. Yep. And you have to find out. I mean, you can spend $150 on shoes and they could feel terrible to you. You just have to find the right shoes
right.
for you.
Right. So maybe we could kind of start there because that is part of it, especially for me because I had trashed my feet before. And so I was like, I got to get good shoes. So I went to a local running place, Peachtree Running Store. Is that,
Big
that
what Peach Running
Big,
Company.
Big Peach Running Company. So if you're in the Atlanta area, definitely go there. So they will fit you with shoes.
And they'll watch your gait when you
They
run.
Will actually take an iPad or something. They'll say, okay, run out here on the sidewalk. And then, you know, they'll see how you run. And then they'll let you try on, you know, different shoes and all that stuff. And so I finally landed on, okay, these feel good. And that's what I ended up with. But everybody's foot's obviously different. So that was a big spend. And so I was kind of like, I got to do this now because I just spent some money on this and it's going to make me feel horrible if I'm wasting this money and not using these shoes. And so I started that day. I think I started that day that I got the shoes, if not the very next day.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoes are important. I did the same thing. I did all my research online and I'd been buying my own shoes, but once I started getting up in the miles, just over 3 miles, which today for me, like that's a warm up. And when I started, that was an insane distance and my feet really started feeling the effects of it. And so I went to an expert and we talked about my feet. He watched me run, picked out a shoe that I would not have picked out on my own with my own research. And it felt, I tell everyone this, it felt like I was Cinderella, like putting a glass slipper on. Like
oh,
it
that's
just,
precious.
It was, I didn't know a shoe could feel that good on my foot. Like wow. It just felt like it was made for my foot, which is awesome. So yeah, spend the money. And my other, you know, I guess we'll just go around for a couple tips to this, because we're talking about the average person going from nothing.
Just regular
let's,
dudes.
Let's get moving right. three times a week or whatever.
And just so you guys know, this podcast isn't going to be like some step-by-step kind of thing.
No.
We might get in. I think Josh has more methodology as far as how much you should increase week to week. And you might get into that a little bit. But really, it's what we really wanted to do is to utilize this podcast episode as encouragement.
Just like with all of our other topics.
Exactly. So what one man can do, you can do as well with a little help from your friends and a little encouragement from your friends. And that's what we're here doing. So Josh.
Yeah. So one thing that was huge for me, and I think I've mentioned this on another podcast, maybe a different topic, but especially those of you, and there's a lot of our Facebook group is blowing up and there's so many super smart dudes and women. I was going to say chicks, but I would get in trouble for that.
Come on, man.
So men and women on there that are super smart doing all kinds of projects, but there's probably a lot of perfectionists in the mix. I get the feeling, and I'm one as well. And I'm the type that if things go sideways on me, I want to shut down. Like that's the first step. And so I, you know, previously with any exercise goals or diet goals or anything like that, I would set these insane bars. And then the first day that I didn't meet that goal, I would just, it would be off the rails. I'd say, well, it's not worth doing. Like I'm done now. I've screwed it up. And I read this book called Finish by John Acuff, which you should read. The biggest takeaway from that book for me that applied directly to exercise was whatever goal you have, whatever it is, if it's to run 100 miles in a year, okay, that's not a massive goal, but 100 miles in a year, cut it in half. Like whatever your goal is, just cut it in half. And that way you may hit your goal halfway through the year. And now you've got a big win. You got a big W under your belt. And that'll motivate you to do another 50 mile goal or maybe a 75 mile goal for the rest of the year. So take your goal and just cut it in half, just right off the bat. And don't play games with it. Don't you know, try to size it to something you think you can do. Just whatever your goal is out there, cut it in half or cut the timeline in half. That's a way to get some small wins to propel you on to the bigger mission. And that's what I've done. I mean, I didn't have mileage goals. I just said, I need to be running 3 times a week. And that's where I started.
Right.
I need to run 3 times a week.
Let's talk also quickly about prioritizing this, because if you're not taking into consideration, I'm going to give up this amount of time to do this, then you're quickly just going to fall off. So meaning you've got a routine down. You're used to doing the same things right? So you have to start thinking about the time that you've been spending sitting on the couch watching Netflix or whatever and reorient your day. It's so weird me saying this because, like, that's another thing I just bucked against was just time management and all kinds of stuff like that. But it's a commitment because you've got to think that through, because if you don't make the time to do it and you don't, you're going to have to cut something else out is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
You can't just, I mean, I guess you could just get up an hour earlier. So there is that. That's
the number one solution.
Yeah, there is that. And I have done that. I just would get up. So I've talked about being at the mountains. There's a local national battlefield park, Kennesaw Mountain. And so many times I'd be up there at like 6:30 in the morning. And that was a huge thing for me. So I'm already got my workout done and the day has not even really started. So that's something to consider as well. However, you know, you've got to reorient when you go to bed.
Yeah. Making it a priority, definitely important. I remember one turning point for me was I had just started. I was maybe a month or two in. And I went, I think, Dave, it's when we went to go see Jordan Peterson. Jordan yep. Peterson, clinical psychologist, came into town. And it was on whatever day I was supposed to run. And I hadn't run that day. And that event was at night. And we went to like Ted's Montana Grill and had a huge dinner, had a couple drinks at the event. And then, you know, it was like 11 o'clock by the time we came home. And I looked at the calendar and I'm like, I was supposed to run today. And I went out at 11 p.m. with my headlamp and ran my 2 miles or whatever it was at the time. And I just remember thinking, like, in my mind while I'm running, how crazy it was that it was dark and I had a headlamp on. But I was like, I have made a decision that I am going to do this.
Yeah, you got to pay the man.
So,
And I mean, then you threw up.
No, I felt good. And I think, yeah, most of it was just that emotional high. Like, I've made this decision and I'm going to make it happen tonight. And nothing else is going to stop me.
I've heard people say that they'll kind of schedule their week out and then they, you know, they schedule their week out. This is what I'm going to do. These are the workouts I'm going to get. And then they owe that to themselves. Like, they owe those workouts to themselves for that week. For me, it's more of, you know, I've always kind of sort of really in my previous life was kind of a runner and then, you know, didn't do much for a bunch of years. But hey, look, I always got the peach tree in me. Once a year, too. I can run 6.2 miles. There were a few years there where it was brutal. Like the next 2 days, I literally couldn't walk upstairs. It was embarrassing. But yeah, once I started becoming more active, it was really just setting goals that I knew that I could, or really wanting to be consistent. So whether I was running every day or every other day, usually 3 times a week, I just wanted to be able to do something that I knew that I could keep up for over a long period of time. Because I got it in my mind. I was like, look, you're not going to see the results you want to see for a year. That's just the way that it is.
Yes.
And I'm doing this to make myself feel better, to make myself operate better, to be a better worker, to be a better parent, a better husband. And I'm just going to do these things and I'm going to see the results 3, 6, 12 months down the road. And that's just kind of how it played out for me. So for me, it was really just making a change that I knew I could implement in my lifestyle going forward.
Yeah. I like your point about the age thing and the, you know, you're not going to go out and we're not setting any records here.
No.
Like this is a lifestyle change that's to benefit you. And I'm sure people that are older than us could even give us advice at this point in our lives as far as this exercise thing goes. But yeah, when I started running and I was like 36, 37 years old, I just realized, hey, like you're not 25. You're not going to be running a 10K next month. Like that's right. Not going to happen. That's going to be almost 2 or 3 months down the road, a year. You're going to see, you need to have the year-long view of to what your results want to be. But for those of you who are younger, you've got time, you got the energy, you know, get out there and do it. But, you know, a lot of our listeners I know are kind of in our age bracket here. And yeah, don't try to set the world on fire. Just do the incremental steps.
Don't do what I did because I stupidly would just up my mileage like crazy. I remember one morning I went up and down that mountain and then I ran like 6 or 7 miles. I'd never done that in my life, let alone hike up and down a mountain and then do it. I don't know what I was thinking. And my knee was crazy hurting towards the end of that. And I just like, you know what? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. And I paid for it.
Can't do that at our age.
I totally trashed my knees. That's actually when I think I started more exclusively hiking. And so I will say, if you get into running and you do have some knee issues, try hiking for a little while, because I think that that really helped me with cardiovascular stuff, because it was much more high intensity for, I don't know, a shorter amount of time or something.
Yeah. You got to build up that base. I mean, if you haven't ever done it, you need to get some miles into your feet, some miles into your lungs, and get your body used to moving.
Yeah,
it
allowed my cardiovascular to catch up with my legs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the analogy to use, but Dave just said put miles on your body. Like, I'll go into that a little bit as far as increasing miles, because some people you might go out there and maybe you run 2 miles and you haven't run in 10 years, let's say, but you run 10 miles and you feel great. Don't go out 2 days later and try to run 4 miles. Like, don't do that. You need to set a small base of basically the same distances during the week. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm saying like the most base level running program, you know, within a week, maybe do 2 miles one day, 3 miles 2 days later, maybe 2 miles again 2 days later.
Yeah.
And then the next week, don't increase your total weekly mileage by more than 10%.
I think that you've pointed us to some sort of plan before that's online that you maybe looked at.
Yeah, I don't have one specifically. I've used a bunch of different ones.
Yeah, let's look one of those up and then we'll post that in our show notes, because, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of different ones, but yeah.
The overriding rule, though, and this is pretty much universal across all runners, is that 10% rule. Don't increase total weekly mileage more than 10% week over week.
Yeah, that's I haven't done that. I'm all over the place. It's like,
yeah, you've cycled a few times where you ramp it up too fast and then injure yourself.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago I was doing 5K 3 times a week, and then I dialed it down. I just did like 2.5 miles each of those days, and then now this week, starting out, it's Monday, I just ran 5 miles, and I've just crazy increased my pace, and I'm trying to figure out how in the world I did it. But I went literally from like 10 minutes to 10 minutes 30 seconds all the way down to like 8:15.
You ran 5 miles today, 8:14 average. I was like, dang, Tim, I don't know where that came from.
Look, it's something. Okay,
I'm not saying you're not fast, Tim. My rule, it's a rule in the runner, now that I'm a runner in the running community, week. Strava, or it didn't happen, is the rule. Now, that means you need a GPS watch that logs to Strava, because
trust my Nike app on my previous run the other week. And so I got in my car and I did the mileage and it came out right at it. And I'm gonna verify this on Google Maps as well.
Did you stopwatch your run?
What do you mean? I mean, I hit the button.
That's all the time. What we're going to do.
I hit the button.
We're going to run the numbers.
Josh and I are going to take you out. We're going to put you through your paces, and we're going to see how the numbers shake
out. I'm going to trash you guys. All right.
Well, I think something that keeps coming up, you would, I'm not going to say you would, but something that keeps coming up is, I think we would all agree, if you're starting a new activity, don't get down on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Everybody starts somewhere. And I mean, if you want to run and you go out there and you can't run a quarter mile, that's okay. Like, you got to start somewhere and just incrementally improve that. And then in 6 months, all of a sudden, you're a runner. Like, you're at a point where you didn't think you could ever be. So it's making those incremental improvements.
Yeah. And we're talking running today. This can be any physical activity for you. This could be exercise bike in your garage. Yeah. This could be treadmill work. This could be walking your neighborhood, walking your
lifting
dog,
weights,
riding bikes, pumping iron, whatever.
I want to get you guys. I think Josh, especially if you started lifting weights, you would get jacked. Because you got the body type for it.
Look, I can't handle that.
I don't need him thinking he's better than me. Any better than me.
We should do another show on that. I'm definitely not. And well, the coronavirus totally messed me up with that, because I was going to the gym.
Dude, I bought that squat rack from my garage. You got to do that.
Yeah, except you won't let me come over.
You come over, I'll sanitize it.
Wipe it down.
Yeah,
I've still been doing stuff, but I bought a pull-up bar and stuff that I'd installed in the basement. And I bought these like push-up like handle things. Yeah. Yeah. And they like rotate and stuff. Yeah. I've been doing some push-ups, y'all.
Nice. Old and fashioned.
I do these like incline push-ups too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I need to get into more of the weight training or calisthenics, just body weight stuff. Cause I am full on
some resistance,
just running mode right now. Yeah. That's all I'm doing.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here and we'll be back after the break. Josh, I hope your segment's kind of short. Cause we talked a good long ways about,
we're passionate.
Yeah. Yeah. About,
I'll make it brief.
All right, cool. We'll be back after the break.
This episode is sponsored by 1776 United. 1776 United is a patriotic and historically inspired lifestyle brand. They make the best patriotic shirts and apparel on the market today. I personally own many of their products, and if you want to don patriotic gear without looking gaudy, check them out on Instagram, Facebook, and at 1776united.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. Josh has the bonus segment for us. Josh, what you got?
All right. I don't have a fancy name because I just didn't think of one, but we're going to talk about paper. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And wrapping it up.
Yep, okay. So. We'll see you guys next week.
Riveting. No. So I have, you come across these questions like every day of why is this like that? Why is this thing the way it is? How did we get here? Well, for me, this thing is today. Why is this paper I'm holding? Why is it in the U.S. and Canada 8.5 inches wide by 11 inches tall?
Okay.
Why that dimension? It's so random.
It's a random dimension.
Why isn't
it square?
Look, we are, we're America. We do what we want. Everyone's on metric. They can get their millimeters and whatever standardized, make it all
easy. I kind of wish we were.
We got to go metric.
Yeah, we won't.
But it is a good point. We do what we want.
We do what we want. So we're not metric. So why do we have this weird paper shape? And every printer, whatever. 8.5 by 11. How did we get here? Well, you're going to be, I had a hunch, but this is why. Do you have any guesses, first of all? Why are we at 8.5 by 11?
It's got to have something to do with the printer size. It's got to have something to do with that. I don't know.
So printers now are standardized to feed this kind of paper.
Oh yeah. No, I'm talking, right? I'm talking like back in the, like the press days.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Any
did
further
it have
guesses,
something to
Dave?
Do? I was thinking like either the mail system or like newspapers, something that had to do with that.
Kind newspapers, printing press, similar ideas here. So the best I could find, this was multiple sources that kind of came back to this conclusion, was that in the 1600s, the Dutch invented what is called the two-sheet mold. Not going to go into how paper is made, but this
Thank
is
you.
Actually how like sheets of paper in the 1600s were made. They would have these screens that kind of like sift. You would have a huge vat of warm or boiling water that had pulp in it. And these screens, these rectangular screens, would get pushed down into the vat. And then when they got pulled up, the pulp would be laid out on the screen. And then that pulp would be dried and peeled off, and that would be like a rough sheet of paper, right? The average, what they called vat man, who the guy that manned the vat, the average arm span was 44.5 inches.
Oh, so crazy.
That's how wide they would make this wood frame of the screen that they would dip
into
the
pulp.
And
then when they cut it down evenly.
When they cut it down into 8 pieces, that is eight and a half by 11. It was 17 inches deep. 44
okay,
inches
so we
wide.
Can thank the Vat Man.
Okay, so Vat Man. And what's crazy is, so that was just a standard, right? The Dutch 1600s printing press. That was a standard sheet of paper forever, and it made its way over to the U.S. And what's weird is in 1921, the government was like, hey, we need to like officially make sheets of paper official, because printing presses had been around, but there were still people doing hand paper making. It seems like people were saying that there was like a movement to keep those people in business as well. So 8.5 by 11 was stuck with, but the government decided that 8 by 10.5 was going to be the government standard for sheet of paper size. So 1 inch shorter. So you may have seen older legal documents about that time, 8.5 by 10, and or sorry, 8 by 10.5 inches. It took all the way until Ronald Reagan's administration for them to make the government on 8.5 by 11. Because back in 21, they said the government would be 8 by 10.5. The people would be 8.5 by 11.
So before like 1980 Ridiculous. Or 81, they were all...
There was two standards. Wow. There, and so, and what's weird though, is this 8.5 by 11, now we've built all our machinery around 8.5 by 11. And how crazy is that? Now all the printers are able to do all the other standard sizes
right.
too.
Right.
But anyway, a guy's arm length.
Okay. 4 inches. All right. Now you know. Now you know. I'm glad that we kind of got back to just the random bonus segments.
Yes.
Because they were kind of missing for a while there. So, guys, I hope you learned something today. All right. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning in to the UK Man podcast today. Like we mentioned earlier, our Facebook group has been blowing up. I think we've increased the number of members by about 50%.
Yeah.
Over the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, or gosh, week and a half, yep. something like that. Tons of guys and gals now. So we've got a lot of gals on there that are posting stuff as well.
Did you see that teak table set?
Yes.
Man, that thing was nice.
Gail.
Yeah.
Yeah. She posted that. That was very, very nice.
She bought it for like $100 on Facebook.
I don't know. Or I something. Didn't, I didn't it was see like she bought, it bought for.
A teak, like an outdoor. Full table, like four
super
or six
nice,
chairs.
And just refinished the whole
refinished
thing.
Refinished it. Nice. Looks like $1 million.
Yeah, actually, I take back, ladies, we do need you to post more. Because actually, now that I think about it, I think Gail was like the only one that really posted much of anything of all of our newer ladies okay. that have joined the group. So this is You Can Man, but we welcome the ladies.
You can, Homo sapien.
You can, ma'am.
Yes, yes. So check out the Facebook group. Hey, take some time to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, because that really does help us out and helps other people find our podcast.
Yeah,
take some time
all
to do
you
that.
Folks that have been listening for a while and have never left a review, let's get that review.
Do it now. Do it now. All right. Catch you guys next time.